Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Well, you know, nothing's new at WikiLeaks, so why would he even... Oh. Just 2 months before she was killed in a terror attack, former Pakistan Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto approached then-U.S. Ambassador, then-the U.S. Ambassador in Islamabad, asking for help to evaluate her personal security. The request was ignored, according to the latest release of WikiLeaks. Latest WikiLeaks release of State Department cables. Bhutto handed over a written request to U.S. Ambassador Ann Patterson 2 months before Bhutto was killed. The request asked Patterson to carry out an evaluation of Bhutto's security because she feared for her life, you see. The cables revealed that the U.S. chose to look the other way, suggesting that Bhutto should work constructively with General Pervez Musharraf's government, the same organization that Bhutto insisted was out to kill her. Why don't you talk to your killers? See how they feel. Bhutto made the request to the U.S. ambassador immediately after a terror strike killed more than 130 people at a rally organized by her party. The rally was organized to welcome her after her 8 years exile in Dubai and London. Yeah, that would spook me. I have to admit. Not a flighty response. According to the cables, Bhutto told the U.S. ambassador she did not believe the Pakistan government was giving the security that she needed and she was under severe threat. She also complained of a shoddy Pakistani government probe into the terror attack. Patterson, U.S. Ambassador Patterson, decided not to do that. And Bhutto was assassinated. You know, if you think thoughts like that, things like that are going to happen to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's the power of negative thinking. The Transportation Safety Administration says its full-body X-ray scanners are safe and that radiation from a scan is equivalent to what's received in about 2 minutes of flying. The company that makes the scanner says it's safer than eating a banana. You know, you've seen those horrible pictures of people suffering from radiation burns, the banana eaters. But some scientists with expertise in imaging and cancer say the evidence made public to support those claims is unreliable. And in a new letter sent to White House science advisor John Holdren, they question why the TSA won't make the scanners available for independent testing by outside scientists. The machines have the potential to close a security gap. We know that. They're also important for TSA's public relations battle over the alternative, the enhanced pat-down. Hey, everything's enhanced these days. Thank you, Dick Cheney. That's an enhanced thank you, by the way. And you know me, ladies and gentlemen. Pat-downs are for now. Radiation is forever. Touch my junk. There are two types of body scanners. The safe ones used in Canada and the ones we've got. Oh, they're safe too. Sorry. Backscatter X-rays. The TSA says the backscatter technology has been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and John Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. The letter to the White House science advisor, signed by five professors at UC San Francisco and one at Arizona State University, well, they're all Pac-12. What do you expect? Points out several flaws in the tests. Studies published in scientific journals in the last few months have also cast doubt on the radiation dose and the machine's ability to find explosives. A number of scientists, including some who believe the radiation is trivial, say more testing should be done given the government's plans to put millions of passengers through the machines. Machines which are administered by people making $12 an hour. And they have been disturbed by the TSA's reluctance to do so. There's no real data on these machines, and in fact, the best guess of the dose is much, much higher than certainly what the public thinks, says John Sedat, a professor emeritus in biochemistry and biophysics at UC San Francisco and the primary author of the letter. What does he know, ladies and gentlemen? He's emeritus. You know what I'm saying? Why isn't he still, you know, he's emeritus. You know what I'm saying? And an independent investigation of the Upper Big Branch mine disaster in Charleston, West Virginia, you may remember that, way back last year, has concluded that Massey Energy's failure to follow basic safety standards and a corporate culture that put production of coal ahead of protecting workers led to the deaths of 29 miners in last April's massive explosion. That sounds so unfamiliar. That syndrome. That couldn't be. A report from a team directed by longtime mine safety advocate David McAteer found that widespread violations, persistent intimidation of workers, and constant battling with regulators can only be accepted, quote, where the deviant has become normal. Sounds like Santa Monica. Hello, welcome to the show.
Attending Mardi Gras with Fidel Castro. Buxom cross-dressers threw fake gold coins at our feet as we discussed the fate of the revolution. Suddenly, CIA men dressed in bikinis tried to stab us with fountain pens. Fidel blew mustard gas through his cigar and immobilized the lot of them. 19 tequilas later, we had a deal. Havana goes back to the mob, and Fidel and I open a chain of Kentucky Fried Chicken shops. Ain't life sweet? I feel good. I feel better than James Brown. I feel better now. I feel better than James Brown. I feel better now. How do you feel?
James.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show from the world headquarters of Le Show. You see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. And now, the Dick Ebersol Memorial Edition of News of the Olympic Movement. They've lost their dick. But seriously, a promotional campaign linked to the 2014 Winter Olympics is stirring debate in Russia because of its use of allegedly fascist imagery. The campaign employs images of blue-eyed, blonde sportsmen and women, which have been described by critics as neo-Hitlerite and like something from a Leni Riefenstahl film. Look it up. Images of Aryan-looking snowboarder and ice skater gazing into the middle distance dominate giant billboards in Moscow and feature on the cover of brochures to advertise Gorky Gorod, an elite housing complex being built near Sochi. That complex is a private-public partnership, which will be the Olympic Media Village at the 2014 Russian Winter Olympics. Without doubt, the authors of this advertising were inspired by Nazi art, says Ekaterina Degot, a well-known art historian. When the billboards were put up, the Russian art collective Voyna tweeted, "There is a huge advertisement, openly fascist in style, for elite housing in Sochi." The critics say the style and pose of the subject in the images was heavily suggestive of Nazi art, which stresses racial purity and superiority. The Guardian has learned from England has learned that the images of the sportsmen were produced by Doping Pong, a St. Petersburg-based design company, which uses a swastika as one of its online banners. One of the company's recent projects is a series of erotic photographs of two young women, one called a fa, fascist, the other an antifa, anti-fascist, who grapple with each other in a wrestling ring and tear off each other's clothes. The fa appears to win the fight and triumphantly wraps herself in a Nazi flag. Doping Pong also worked closely with a Russian artist in her 20s who's known for her sympathies with the ultra-right. She published a yellow smiley on her blog on Hitler's birthday, embellished with a toothbrush mustache and a slick of black hair. The caption read, "Happy birthday." It all sounds good. One of the designers at the firm said he had no sympathy with far-right ideas, but said he believed the Olympic aesthetic starts in Berlin in 1936 and is created by Leni Riefenstahl. He added, "For me, this is about the aesthetics of beauty." And Jesse Lumdum's pursuit of a Canadian Football League Grey Cup ring is being replaced by a pursuit of the Olympic rings. The 28-year-old Calgary Stampeders running back announced this week he's retiring from Canadian pro football after six injury-filled seasons, to train full-time as an amateur bobsledder with hopes of driving a Canadian sled at the 2014 Winter Olympics. Because amateurism, ladies and gentlemen, is in the eye of the bisledder. How will they survive without Dick Ebersol? They'll survive because the Olympics is a movement. And we all need one. Every day. Produced by Dick Ebersol. Ladies and gentlemen, the FEMA trailer story, unlike some of the people who lived in FEMA trailers, the FEMA trailer story refuses to die. Years after FEMA moved Katrina and Hurricane Rita victims out of formaldehyde and mold-infested trailers, the very same government-issued trailers are once again sheltering disaster victims. Despite FEMA's insistence that when they were put up for sale, that they carry a label saying not for human habitation. You see, that would be the thing that you might want to have read. But in any case, bought at government auctions or from entrepreneurs reselling the trailers are appearing in increasing number along the path of the tornadoes that ravaged Alabama and other parts of the South last month. Jacked up on cinder blocks above severed tree limbs and piles of trash, the trailers cut a lean white silhouette, according to southernstudies.org, eerily familiar to anyone who spent time in the Gulf Coast region in the last 5.5 years. For many Katrina survivors, the sight of the trailers triggers memories of mysterious rashes, burning eyes, and chronic breathing problems linked to the formaldehyde the trailers emit. Yet in Alabama, not even a federal ban on residential use of the trailers can curb the market for these low-cost housing units. It's the magic of the marketplace, ladies and gentlemen. Yours with just a little bit of, just a little dash of formaldehyde, just to spice it up for your living pleasure. And now, the apologies of the week. No direct connection.
We're so sorry.
The United States has formally apologized to Pakistan over drone attacks. It's according to a Pakistani media source. The U.S. apologized to the civil and military leadership of Pakistan, just in case one of them doesn't happen to be running the country, over the drone strikes that killed 9 people in North Waziristan on Monday. The U.S. has stated it would work together with Pakistan on any future operations in the country. We'll watch for that. No, don't hold your breath. A law student who graduated from North Carolina Central University last week is in hot water after plagiarizing a speech in front of thousands of people. It was the commencement address. Preston Mitchum, 25, of Youngstown, Ohio, apologized this week for his conduct. He said he was under pressure to come up with a speech and found a YouTube video of a speech made last year by a student at Binghamton University in New York. Mitchum copied the speech, delivering parts of it word for word at Friday's ceremony. I feel terrible, and I know this is going to have a horrific backlash, he said. I just don't want to want this to have an effect on my career. He is set to take the bar exam this summer. I'd hire him. Sounds better than lawyers. Wait, what? Former Federal Reserve Chairman, Vice Chairman, Donald Cohn, former Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve, says he deeply regrets the impact on consumers of the financial crisis. Quote, I place too much confidence in private market participants to police themselves, he told British lawmakers in London when asked whether he wanted to apologize for the Fed's role. Quote, I also agree that cops weren't on the beat. The regulators were not alert to the risks as they could have been. Cohn retired in September, was a close ally of Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke, presiding over a housing boom, the worst financial slump since the Great Depression, and the Fed's deployment of unprecedented weapons to stem the tide. He retired in, this guy, Cohn, is now, I think, up for consideration or has been nominated for a new post in the financial regulatory structure. Yes, we're holding our breath. Massachusetts Labor and Workforce Development Secretary Joanne F. Goldstein has apologized for virus infection on as many as 1,500 computers that exposed the personal information of 210,000 unemployed people in Massachusetts to cyber criminals. Yes, I know. Stealing from the unemployed. You got to be a pretty desperate cyber criminal. Officials of the Massachusetts Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development confirmed this week that hackers may have used malware to pilfer personal information from Massachusetts unemployment offices. Accepting failure to remove the malware, Goldstein said, quote, I apologize to our customers, i.e. the unemployed, and recognize this is an unwanted problem. United Airlines apologized for for inadvertently reactivating the retired flight numbers of 2 planes that crashed after being hijacked by terrorists on 9/11/2001. The flight numbers were assigned by a computer. Sure, blame the computer. Late Monday, for sales of future flights, said airline spokesman Rasan Johnson. Early Wednesday, airline officials noticed the error and immediately removed them from the system. And although not required by the FAA, airlines typically retire the numbers of flights involved in fatal crashes. Although I stayed in a hotel this very week with a floor 13. Dateline Cannes, France, or Cannes, France. Film director Lars von Trier blamed his, quote, Danish sense of humor after he was slammed for declaring he was a Nazi who sympathized with Hitler. Speaking at a news conference to promote his new film, which you can find the name of by someone who cares, von Trier sparked outrage after he said, quote, what can I say? I understand Hitler. I think he did his wrong things, but I understand the man. He's not what you would call a good guy. But I understand him. I sympathize with him. Unquote. He should be designing films for the Russian Winter Olympics, don't you think? Furious organizers of the Cannes Film Festival immediately banned the director from the festival, naming him persona non grata, meaning he cannot get anything cooked with cheese on it. Von Trier, whose film was widely tipped to win a top prize before the controversy exploded, apologized for the comments and blamed his sense of humor. Nazis and the thing. Speaking to an Israeli publication, he said, I lived most of my life as a Jew. I wore a skull cap when I had to. My mother wasn't Jewish, but my father, or the man I thought was my father, was. But then I found out my father wasn't my father, and my real father was German. Okay. He added, and instead of saying I was actually German at the news conference, in my characteristic haste, and because I couldn't stand the man who turned out to be my father, despite my mother's telling me he was charming, I said with a kind of typical Danish humor that most people don't understand that I was a Nazi. But I'm not. He continued, but it was a stupid joke. But that's the kind of humor I use when I talk to my friends who know me and know I'm not a Nazi. I apologize profoundly for offending people. It was not my intention. I've also offended Germans who, when instead of saying German, I use the word Nazi, as though every German is a Nazi, unquote. The man is 55 years old, ladies and gentlemen. A young heavy metal evangelist known for extreme anti-gay statements was asked to give the opening prayer this week in the Minnesota House of Representatives and used it to say that President Obama is not a Christian. Bradley Dean appeared in a tracksuit, his long hair in a ponytail, and incorporated a slur against the president into his prayer. Quote, as every president up till 2008 has acknowledged, it's about Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. The prayer sent the Minnesota House into an uproar. The Minnesota's Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that leaders and staff members huddled. The chamber's Republicans huddled in a caucus meeting for more than an hour. The GOP House Speaker then asked the regular chaplain to deliver a second prayer, and the House took a second roll call. I respectfully apologize to all members of the Minnesota House of Representatives and all citizens of this state for today's morning prayer, said the GOP House Speaker, Kurt Zellers. Sounds German. As Speaker of the House, I take responsibility for this mistake. I'm offended at the presence of Bradley Dean on the floor of the Minnesota House of Representatives. I denounce him, his actions and his words. He does not represent my values or the values of this state. Real Girls, the Seattle nonprofit that nearly lost its summer camp funding from Comcast because of an unflattering tweet, has declined to accept money from the cable giant. In a statement this week, Executive Director Mallory Graham said Comcast's decision to take away funds and then to restore them after media attention raised too many concerns. Comcast did apologize for the actions of a local executive in Washington State who told Real Girls a critical tweet of the company cost the nonprofit its sponsorship for a summer camp that teaches teenage girls about filmmaking. Comcast now says the decision wasn't authorized by corporate headquarters and it wanted to restore the grant. The offensive tweet aimed at the hiring of a sitting FCC commissioner by Comcast after the commissioner approved the Comcast-NBC merger. Tokyo Electric Power President Masataka Shimizu, that's the utility behind the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl, apologized at his company's Tokyo headquarters again and said he was resigning to take responsibility for the nuclear crisis. I wanted to take managerial responsibility and bring a symbolic close. Yeah, good luck. He told reporters, we are doing our utmost to settle the crisis. The move is widely expected as heads of major Japanese companies are expected to step down to take responsibility for even lesser scandals and problems. James Frey, is it Frey or Fry? Frey. The A Million Little Pieces author who found himself on Oprah Winfrey's bad side in 2006. Was on her show again in her finale week. She acknowledges she had an aha moment in the years that followed a memorable interview with him, in which she gave him a lashing. At the time, she was upset to learn that his memoir, which she included in her book club, was not based entirely on truth. "What people saw was my lack of compassion, so I apologize for my lack of compassion," she told him, "because I'm in the business of trying to get people's stories and trying to get to what is the truth of those stories, but never in the history of my career, and I've talked to murderers, I've talked to child molesters, never in any situation have I walked into an interview and didn't have a sense of compassion for the person." Continuing to talk about herself, she said, "My position and intention was, how dare you? How dare you lie to me? How dare you lie to the viewers? And it really was not a position of, let me hear your story, let me hear your side, and that is what people saw. That was what the lashing was. The lashing was not the questioning. The lashing was the lack of compassion, and for that, I apologize." He responded with an appropriate, "Thank you very much." Too brief, James. You gotta up your word count to compete with that. But wait, ladies and gentlemen. Just a couple more. A Sauk County, Wisconsin supervisor has apologized for his use of the word Jude during a public meeting. "At the urging and requests of friends and colleagues I respect, I apologize to anyone offended by a term I used at the March 15th meeting of the Sauk County Board, which is still causing a distraction in May," Supervisor Virgil Hartgy wrote in a statement. "During a late-night meeting in March, Hartgy was asked to describe the county's dealings with a contractor who worked on a county-owned dam. His response, 'We Jude him down, son.'" In a previous interview with a local newspaper, Hartgy defended his use of the word Jude, saying it's in the dictionary. He also says it's different from other racial or ethnic slurs that are in the dictionary because it is, quote, a business term. The United States Secret Service is apologizing for an anti-Fox News tweet that made it onto the Secret Service's new Twitter feed. Secret Service has a Twitter feed, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not secret. "Barely a week after it was set up, had to monitor Fox for a story, can't deal with the blathering," read the tweet, which was quickly removed. An employee with access to the Secret Service's Twitter account who mistakenly believed they were on their personal account posted an unapproved and inappropriate tweet, said the statement by the Secret Service. "We apologize for this mistake, and the user no longer has access to our official account. Policies and practices which would have prevented this were not followed and will be reinforced for all account users." Jamie Dimon, head of J.P. Morgan Chase, went to the Gigabanks annual meeting this week. It's in Columbus, Ohio. "Hey, I just was there. Jamie, was that why you..." And apologized for the mistakes his bank has made in its foreclosure actions. That's right, mistakes. "We are doing everything we can to keep people in their homes," he told shareholders of the company whose shares are up 11% over the past 12 months. He called kicking active duty GIs from their homes the worst mistake the bank has ever made. "I know we've made mistakes with paperwork and other issues. We deeply apologize," he said, vowing to make fixes. And caught in a turmoil of criticism after criticizing Representative Paul Ryan's budget proposal on Meet the Press last Sunday, Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich this week called to apologize to Ryan after apologizing to several other people along the way. Gingrich spokesman Rick Tyler said his boss apologized for his inartful way of expressing his point. Earlier in the week, Gingrich had described his language on Meet the Press, where he appeared to call Ryan's plan right-wing social engineering as compared to the Obama administration's medical care plan, left-wing social engineering. He described his language as inelegant. Inelegant. You know, not fit for nighttime, maybe for 5 o'clock, maybe for cocktail. The former speaker said it was a mistake to make the voucher system advocated by Ryan to replace Medicare mandatory and called it politically undoable. He set off a storm of criticism that continued unabated for the next 48 hours. The criticism, which ranged from the Wall Street Journal to the National Review, you know, the left-wing media, threatened to break Gingrich's not yet 1 week old campaign off track just as it was getting started. The damage was exacerbated by the fact that even as he reiterated he would repeal the Obama health care plan, Gingrich maintained Ryan's budget was too politically toxic to pass into law. Tyler, the spokesman, said Gingrich wasn't backing off that criticism, but said the candidate wanted to work with Ryan to devise a plan that would be popular with the public. The former congressman, that is to say Gingrich, made the call while in Minneapolis for an event. He said the two men had exchanged emails beforehand. I hope that's all they exchanged. I don't think there are any hard feelings between them, said the spokesperson. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And given the spate of apologizing Newt did, there's probably some strategizing going on in a conference call. Maybe this very day.
Now joining your conference call.
Newt Gingrich.
Hi, Newt.
Hi, everyone. Sorry I'm late. I was rereading Deming and Drucker. Some transformative insights on an organization in flux, which I guess is what we are.
Mr. Speaker, I think what's in flux are your chances to survive another month in this campaign, to be frank. I think the organization's fine.
Mark, this is a bizarre and obscene observation. It calls into question your very commitment to principles of free market Americanism and revives my old doubts about you as an unreconstructed Trotskyist with a Euro-socialist worldview.
Sir, I don't need to remind you. We met when I was president of the Idaho Young Republicans.
I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I'm trying to amp up my hostility in the face of gotcha questioning. I think I just got misdirected at one of my trusted advisors.
Thanks.
This is exactly what Toffler warns against.
Sir, I've got to answer about 500 press inquiries in the next half hour, all of them about the supposed doomed nature of your candidacy. Maybe we can delay the futurist seminar until we're actually in the future.
Sir, maybe I can cut through here with a more pragmatic question. Mm-hmm. Do we have any more apologies we need to make? Or are we going to make week two less, apologetic?
Well, to me personally, I think once you apologize to Congressman Ryan, you've kind of maxed out on public expressions of sorrow. I mean, I think any more of this would, start to creep people out, especially independent voters who are notoriously creep-outable.
It's interesting because the old Protestant me, I think, would have concurred with you, Mark. But what I think Liz and Father Bob have both taught me is that the very voters who doubts about my temperament are those most profoundly moved by public acts of contrition.
Well, it is the best possible way to balance an increase in hostility towards the media, if that's where you're going with that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you attack David Gregory and then you apologize him or to his audience or to whomever. The red meat people are happy and the white meat with no sauce people are happy too.
Yeah, I just think, and I know this is getting into your area, Paulette, i.e. messaging, but strategically, I think we risk that the message people get from this campaign is not a robust attack on the Obama presidency, but just, I'm sorry.
Look, I don't think any of us envisioned this as a strategic option in the start of the campaign way back last month. But the essence of American exceptionalism is a pragmatic streak interlaced with a rock-solid commitment to a set of philosophical values.
And?
No, I just wanted to get that down the way I'm going to say it when I go on with Rush.
Are you apologizing to Rush? If so, I've got to let Drudge know. That's a guaranteed siren.
You know, I'm going to be the Turk in the punch bowl on this, folks. I think in a campaign that's based on repositioning a familiar face, nothing says new Newt better than a fusillade of apologetics. The old Newt never apologized now, did he?
Well, I think, Phil, that's a very, very safe assumption. I think you could argue that not apologizing ever was one of the signature characteristics of the old Newt.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm saying is I know the Newt persona has already executed maybe a 120-degree turn. Do we really want to do a full 180? Maybe, for the toughness, we want to...
Well, look, Mark, the hostile rhetoric still takes care of that, doesn't it? I mean, I'm still planning to accuse Obama of an Indonesian Muslim post-Dutch occupation worldview.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. We're walking back post-colonial Kenyan worldview because I've got to brief some people.
No. I think just broadening the indictment to include the parent he actually lived with, just to put it on an even stronger basis of partial fact. But I have to say, folks, I'm starting to like apologizing. I think the people who think this hurt our campaign are dead wrong. I think we found my sweet spot and we weren't even looking.
Well, you're not going to go looking for things to apologize for, are you? Because if so, I've got a ton of material.
I'm going to suggest that we declare victory on the apology front and, move on for now.
All right, but I do think the speaker could still afford to apologize to David Gregory for saying those softball questions on Meet the Press were actually meatballs, but all right.
Well, if we're good with this, I'm going to give Dennis Prager a heads up.
All right, folks, I'm fine with this direction, and if I made this process drag on unnecessarily, I'm deeply apologetic.
Good.
Damn, that feels good. You know, Mark, you're right to keep this under control before I start calling up my ex-wife. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the godly. Deadline Amsterdam, the head of a Catholic religious order in the Netherlands has confirmed one of his subordinate priests served on the board of an organization, wait for it, that promotes pedophilia. See? Because you got to have experts. You got to have people who know what they're talking about. With the thing. Herman, and I'm reading you this story, ladies and gentlemen, just so I can say this name. Herman Spronk, head of the Dutch arm of the Salesian Order, said in a statement Friday, the priest served on the board of the Marching Organization, which is widely reviled, at least in the Netherlands, but not illegal. Of course we reject this and distance ourselves from this personal initiative on the part of the priest. Personal initiative. Membership in such organizations does not fit with the ethos of the Salesian Order. However, a Dutch news agency published interviews both with Spronk and the priest identified as 73-year-old Father Van B, in which they defend some pedophilic relationships. Society thinks these relationships are harmful. I disagree, the agency quoted Father Van B as saying. He served on the board of the organization until 2010 when the organization's founder was arrested for alleged possession of child pornography. The news agency quoted Spronk as saying, formally, I always say that everyone must obey the law, but these relationships do not necessarily have to be damaging. Spronk and his organization could not be reached this week for comment. News of the godly. Nice gentleman. Oh, several of the first and most prominent abuse cases that have come to light in the Netherlands have involved, nutty coincidence, Salesian priests. What's the Corps of Engineers up to these days? Well, the administration of Governor Christie in New Jersey has extended its legal battle to prevent the deepening of the Delaware River by the Corps. The state is seeking to overturn two court rulings that deny a call for fresh studies to examine how the dredging could affect the waterway. It is irresponsible for the Army Corps to move ahead with this project without addressing New Jersey's concerns and while completely updating testing for contaminants, says the State Department of Environmental Protection. The Army Corps says it's one-third of a $1 billion project to deepen the Delaware River will create jobs and improve cargo shipping. The state and environmental groups fear if the project moves ahead, millions of tons of sediment will be dumped along ecologically sensitive creeks and wetlands in two suburban counties. The state argues the Army Corps violated conditions of several environmental laws by failing to complete testing of contaminants in river sediments and by failing to update studies to determine how the project might harm the river. Rivers can be harmed? That doesn't show up in our studies. That is the latest from the Army Corps of Engineers, ladies and gentlemen. And now, you know, I guess we have a theme show this week. Contrition. Newt, of course, with his apologies. And here in California, whence this broadcast is originating this week, we had a story that inspired, along with ridicule, some contrition. The story of former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who admitted in a statement this week, after he left the governorship, to having had an affair with a live-in housekeeper, having fathered a child by her, a child who was born within days of his own child, a child born to his own wife, who apparently these two kids grew up in the same house together? I don't know. Anyway, it was a situation that Schwarzenegger has moved out of the family home, is living, I'm sure, in a luxurious squat, and has some time to think.
Now joining.
That was a serious mistake. That shouldn't have happened. Here's what should have happened.
I've had some time to think, sitting here alone. I don't find fault with myself. I blame testosterone.
1, 2, oh sorry. 5, 6, 7, 8. I want to be a girly man, have awesome tits and a great looking can, ride with some dudes in the tricked out van. I want to be a girly man. Being a guy is such a great job. You can be a dandy, you can be a slob. Believe you me, I've got what it takes, but it just doesn't frost my cakes. Oh no. I want to be a girly man, wear lots of makeup and say it's a tan, dye my hair, that's part of the plan. I want to be a girly man. You know from movies I'm in love with my bod. It's my meal ticket, it's my muse, it's my god. But don't get me wrong, I love my wife, and I'm not going under the knife. No. I want to be a girly man, squeeze some boobs and say I'm part of the clan, go home and whip up a great tasting flan. I want to be a girly man. Sometimes I'm blatant, but I'm always latent. I want to be a girly man, 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 man.
Talking about the big, big mama, now they're back and side again. I mean them short fat fannies back in style again. You ain't had no real good life and drinking be lured by one of them. Size 14, 16, 18, 22, 24 in style again. I mean that big butt cutie back in style again. You ain't had no juicy Lucy till you be lured by one of them. Mama, Papa told me, son, you better shower. Woman that you got, she gonna knock you out. Big leg, Mama's mighty back in style again. I mean them big butt cuties back in style again. Yeah, had no regular love until you be loved by one of them. She gonna rock you, gonna roll you. Try to control you, talk about your big leg, mama, naughty, back in style again. I mean them thick thighed heifers back in style again. Yeah, have no juicy Lucy to you be one of them. She the kind of woman drink a coffee and great big cup. She the kind of woman you send all loving up, talk about your big leg, mama, naughty, back in style again. I mean them heart-shaped booties back in style again. Yeah, had no real good love until you been loved by one of them. Well, she will not make you shout, she won't make you beg, but she'll shake her hooters just like a softball egg. Come on, take a big leg, mama, back in style again. I mean them heart-shaped booties back in style again. Yeah, no juicy Lucy to you, one of them. I
Somebody give me some WD-40. And on my springs, my back is made of whalebone. I'm gonna make you sing about your big leg, Mama Nani. Back in style again. I mean them leg, big leg, them big leg, them mama, back in style again. They ain't had no juice and loose until you've been lured by one of them. Your big leg, mama, now you're back in style again. Size 14, 16, 18, 22, 24, and style again. I mean them short, fat bandits back in style again. You ain't had no juice and loose until you've been loved by one of them. Come out your big leg, mama, now you're back in style again. I'm out your big leg, my on the back and style again. Can't have no juicy loosey to you, been loved by one of them. Ain't had no juicy loosey to you, loved by one of them. Ain't had no juicy loosey to you, been loved by one of them.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news from the Inspector General. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission lacks a formalized agency-wide training program for inspecting the dry casks used to store spent radioactive fuel rods, according to the NRC's Inspector General. That's all. Just, you know, formalized training program. Why would you? Some casks may be unchecked for almost 6 years, according to the report. Nuclear plants are ramping up the use of dry cask storage because of the lack of another place to put the stuff, and there is an increased potential for inadequate inspections to occur, said the report. Nuclear fuel rods can be moved into dry cask storage after at least a year cooling down in spent fuel pools. The casks are usually comprised of leak-proof steel cylinders, which house the rods, surrounded by additional layers of metal and concrete to block radiation. The NRC is studying whether additional spent fuel should be moved from pools to dry casks as part of a nuclear safety review triggered by you-know-what. By 2026, the U.S. nuclear industry expects all reactor sites will have moved some spent fuel from pools to casks, according to the IG's report. While no significant issues are reported with dry casks, their increased use requires better training for NRC inspectors. Most of the casks are inspected every 2 years. The NRC's requirements, quote, are not clearly defined, and some casks are checked once a year, and others wait almost 6 years for routine inspection, you see. The NRC should set up a minimum inspection frequency for casks at all plants, said the Inspector General, and the NRC agreed with the Inspector General's report. And on a related subject.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Safe, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, safe, too safe to meet. Safe, safe, too safe to meet.
Maybe the problem's with the meter. In a setback to the only model of nuclear reactor for which ground has been broken, in the United States, government regulators have found additional problems with the design of its shield building, just a crucial component. That's according to the chairman of the National Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The chairman, Gregory Yaksko, said that computations submitted by Westinghouse, the manufacturer of the new AP1000. Oh, please, this is not the AP900. No, this is the 1000. About the building's design appeared to be wrong and had led to many more questions. He said the company had not used a range of possible temperatures for calculating potential seismic stresses on the shield building in the event of an earthquake, for example. The commission, he said, is asking Westinghouse not only to fix its calculations, but also explain why it submitted flawed information in the first place.
Well, because we thought you wouldn't read it.
A nuclear waste treatment plant in France, in Basse-Normandie, has been criticized for under-declaring dangerous incidents.
Well, we thought you wouldn't notice.
In a report on nuclear installations in Normandy, the Nuclear Safety Authority in France said Areva's plant at Beaumont-Hague had an unsatisfactory record last year when it came to its declarations process. Nuclear facilities are meant in France to declare accidents that occur on a scale from 0 to 7, from the least to most dangerous. The safety agency said it had to intervene last year a number of times to demand that various incidents be declared or to modify the classifications by the nuclear plant operator. On three occasions, the operator proposed level 0, a procedural anomaly without significant risks, which then had to be reclassified as a 1, which include matters like a member of the public being exposed to more radiation than the permitted limits, minor problems with safety components, or a minor incident of a lost or stolen radioactive source. Last year, there were 58 events in total, compared to only 25 the year before at the plant, which is one of the sites which houses the most radioactive material in the world. The plant last had a level 2 incident way back in 2009. To respond effectively to a Fukushima-like event, the Indian Point nuclear plant in New York State must fix several problems, including the potential buildup of explosive hydrogen gas and poorly placed firefighting and flood protection equipment, according to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Indian Point is on a short list of the few plants that have to do a better job maintaining the necessary resources and procedures. Plant run by Entergy officials said they're prepared to handle an earthquake or flood worse than any in the region's recorded history. We're not susceptible to events like those in Japan, but we prepare like we are, said Indian Point spokesperson. Among the issues inspectors found, hydrogen containment devices, which are supposed to be tested every other year, haven't been tested for 5 years. Fire protection equipment in locations that are not seismically designed. Not enough firefighting equipment if severe events included both of the reactors at the facility. Just a few things. A former engineer at the Monticello nuclear power plant says he raised concerns 6 years ago about safety events like the ones that may have worsened Japan's nuclear accident, but the industry didn't want to hear his concerns. Anthony Sarek, working with another Monticello engineer, wrote a white paper in 2005, raising concerns about a venting system designed to rid boiling water reactor containment vessels of excessive pressure by releasing it outside. The system is designed to prevent a rupture of the vessel. Sarek says he left the industry in 2006 after spending a frustrating 19 months trying to persuade the regulators and industry officials to consider his proposed solution. As an industry, he says, they don't want to make changes. Hey, everything's good. Leaked records indicate Russia secretly moved in 2006 to undermine activities at Iran's unfinished Bushehr nuclear power plant, according to an Israeli newspaper. Then Russian President Putin approved efforts to deliberately slow down work on the facility, which Moscow had pledged 11 years earlier to finish building. Putin wanted to significantly hold up development at the Bushehr plant, the leaked documents say. Among other problems the NRC found in its post-Fukushima review, going back to that, in one case at Diablo Canyon here in California, the plant had a single diesel-driven pump to provide emergency cooling water to a single reactor in case an earthquake cut off normal water flow. The pump could not have serviced both of the plant's reactors if they lost normal water supply simultaneously. Some doors at the plant required to protect against flooding of major safety equipment would not self-latch as required. The plant's 6 emergency diesel generators were located in the same plant area and thus vulnerable to a common mode failure. An earthquake could cause a structural failure in the building where the fire truck is stored. And 4 20-foot extension cables used to operate fans that cool portable generators were missing. Kids, don't take the extension cords home. I know. Safety improvements long in place at the Browns Ferry nuclear plant in Tennessee had been touted as able to protect it from explosions that tore up a Japanese plant, but Japanese officials said this week they had upgraded too, just like the plant in Tennessee. The venting systems in the GE-designed reactors at Fukushima had been upgraded a few years ago to avoid severe accidents, according to TEPCO. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is routinely waiving fire rule violations at nearly half of this country's commercial reactors, even though fire presents one of the chief hazards at nuclear plants. The full story is at ProPublica. And the number one reactor's emergency cooling system at Fukushima number one was not functioning even before the tsunami triggered by the earthquake struck the facility, according to initial data released this week by Tokyo Emergency Power. The emergency cooling system had previously been believed to be operating until the tsunami. But no, not so. That was not Addy chuckling in the background, was it?
No, I'm taking this very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Clean, safe, cheap, too cool to meter. Our friend the Adam. Addy?
I'm out of here.
That wasn't the record that skipped. That was your life skipping. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America by the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz shortwave on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet on your computer at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, available through your smartphone, thanks to Stitcher.com, and available as a free podcast at KCRW.com. And it'd be just like getting those extension cords back from the nuclear plant, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Here's a note. The Big Uneasy is playing right now, this week, in Los Angeles and New York, among other cities. I'd talk about it on my home station, but they have other priorities. And you can find out where The Big Uneasy is coming to your town or to your theater, if you own a theater. Might be surprised. At TheBigUneasy.com. This broadcast is on Twitter at The Harry Shearer. The email address for this program and the playlist of the music heard hereon available at HarryShearer.com. It's cute. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Hawaii, and Chicago in Santa Monica desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. Oh, and I'm doing a Q&A with the Big Uneasy tonight in Long Beach. Just head for the Queen Mary and turn either right or left. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home. You know it, baby. Of the homeless. Sure, bring your hot rods down.